Welcome to the Simon Lovell Show. Join me on my personal journey as I take you through the highs, lows, and lessons of entrepreneurship with the people I meet along the way so you can create a life that you love to help others. I believe anyone can create true transformation, be more connected, and improve their relationships if they are truly committed to change. From hitting rock bottom in my personal life with huge debt, addictions, and self-sabotage, to turning around and building a multi-million dollar company changing lives, now it's my mission to help you reach your true potential. Hey, welcome to the Simon Lovell Show, and I've got a treat in for you guys today. This episode is called the 5K per month versus 100K per month habits and behaviors. And, you know, going back to my original story and the episodes that I've shared with you thus far, what I realized the other day, which was I've changed so much in so many different areas of my life. And, you know, the habits and the things that I used to do, I just woken up out of bed and I was just laid in bed and I was just remembering that time in 2009 when I was just in this really bad place. And I was like, wow, I was doing all these things. I was taking these actions and I was getting these results. And now my life is radically different and I do different habits. And I was like, what were those different things? And I want to go through those with you today so that you can really understand how when you change your mind and you change your actions, that everything starts to build up. Because I know that when I was in that place and I was super frustrated with my life, I couldn't kind of see that contrast. I didn't know what I needed to know, okay? And the very first guest that's come on to the Simon Lovell Show, no pressure, Val, is my coaching director who openly, honestly says that she doesn't like to talk about herself. And also, I call her the pocket ninja. Because she kind of like, we tag team together, right? So when we work with a client and I'm mentoring them, we kind of like have this tag team where she'll go in and she'll do her ninjery and then we'll talk and then we'll discuss how to get those breakthroughs. So Val, welcome.
Ninjery. I love that. Hello, so everybody.
Val is the amazing coaching director for me. And in your experience, Val, you know, from what I've just talked about, from like where I was in this headspace of 5K a month and all these destructive patterns to where I got to, like, what are some things that you know from your experience in what before I go through this list and we can actually talk about them, what are the differences that you see in people getting massive momentum where it's not just like a trickle, but that suddenly they get big jumps?
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing is when somebody makes that massive shift, typically is because there's something inside of themselves that has shifted. It has nothing to do with the strategy and it has everything to do with what they believe. And more critical is who they believe they are. And so a lot of times what I find with my clients is that as we're going through the process, they come on board because they think that they need a strategy to get them to, you know, 100K versus the 5K. But really that shift happens when they finally own themselves and own the identity that they need in order to get there. A lot of times what holds people back is the fact that they don't believe that it's possible, or they don't believe that they have the necessary skills. They believe that they don't have the resources. They believe that they're not good enough. They believe that they're not worthy. And that's the thing that actually stops them. So as I go through coaching with any client, typically, you know, the process is very heavily focused on their beliefs, on their fears, on their confidence, on their potential, and all of that leading to the necessary action to be taken.
Yeah. So in this episode, guys, in a little bit later on, we're going to be covering like the top 10, like what we feel are the top 10 elements of getting those shifts. Now, I'm going to read through some of these. And Val, I just want you to chime in on some of these. If anything like pricks your ears and you're like, oh, that was interesting. So number one, so this is the 5K a month mindset or all thereabouts, right? Which was partying all weekend and like hangovers, right? It was just my habit. Then 100K per month, working on products, learning marketing, going to events. So like what is that shift there? Like, because like, it's so normal for someone to just be like going out every weekend and getting smashed and just like,
right.
I wasn't even realizing it at the time I was in this habit. What is that?
You know, that comes down to pain and pleasure. at the end of the day. I'm going to keep it that simple. You know, in the moment, it feels good to do that, right? And the thing is that there's this idea of levels of consequences, right? Most people only think one or two levels of consequence, meaning if I have the option of going to a party, what's the first level of consequence? I'm going to have a good time. What's the second level of consequence? I may meet someone. This may lead to another opportunity, but then they don't go beyond that. They don't think about, okay, after I meet this person or after I start drinking, how am I going to feel the following day? And am I going to be productive? And so a lot of times they're connecting to the pleasure that's in the moment, and they're not seeing the repercussions of taking that action. And for some people in the moment, it seems painful to do a video or to do marketing or to work on whatever it is they're supposed to work on, right? They see it as overwhelming, or any form of stress sometimes leads to dissatisfaction, which then is just another way of saying it's pain versus pleasure. Definitely something that I see with our clients, right? And one of the reasons why they come to us is because we don't buy into that bullshit and we begin to shift, you know, their beliefs around what could be pleasurable and painful in that specific moment.
Yeah. Okay, the next one, which is website fiddling, okay, installing new plugins. I can remember this. I was doing the Lunchbox Diet at the time, buying internet marketing products, optimizing my website, but it was just a lot of, I called it like this OCD loop, and I would go onto my website, I'd make changes, and I would just do this little cycle, but I wasn't really doing anything. It was almost like a sabotage behavior. Instead of when I'm doing 100K a month, okay, it was at the time when it grew to that, adding value, producing content, more content, and more content, right? And I think that comes from like knowing and being confident about what you're sharing.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So to interject there in something you said, I'm going to ask a question. And that is, when you were fiddling, what is it that you were getting?
It was keeping me from doing what I really needed to do. I think it was making me feel like I was just being active doing something, but thinking that this shiny object of this new plugin or this thing that I installed on my website or these little tweaks, instead of actually going out and making connections and adding value that would bring people to me, it was almost like I notice it a lot with people who are always behind the computer and they're doing busy work, but they're not really doing what is going to bring and yield the best return for them. I'm not saying that, like, for example, optimizing your website is wrong or doing these things, but this was like a cycle that I would be in, day out. This is what I would do. I would go onto my website, I would make a headline change, and literally half an hour later, because I didn't get the response that I wanted, I would go and change it again and change it again and change it. It was like this crazy, like, sucked into my computer madness.
Right, right. Now, did that give you a sense of certainty and control?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. So from a coaching perspective, right, what I'm hearing is that while it was not productive, the action that you were taking felt as though you were active, which would give you a sense of control. Mm-hmm. So a couple of things to kind of stress. There's a few points here that are important. Number one is all humans have needs that they're trying to meet, right? And everything that you do is a vehicle to meet that need. And in that particular moment, there are needs that are being met, right? You've got a sense of certainty because you can control your output. You can control how much you fiddle. You can control how many times you revise something, and you get instant feedback. That instant feedback gives you a sense of certainty, and it also gives you a sense of significance. It makes you feel like you're doing something, right? The reason why it is scary to put yourself out there and to just do videos is because there's no way of really measuring that, right? You can measure output to a certain extent, but how can you really measure if the message is resonating with someone? I hate to break it to you guys, but likes isn't a measurement of that. You know, it is an indicator, but it's not a total measurement of it. And so there's a sense of doing that kind of work that we cannot control. And so what that then leads to is confidence, right? And you said that earlier on. And I see that in our clients a lot of times, right? There is a lack of confidence. And so it is easy to hide behind the computer. It is really easy to hide behind the computer and optimize and continue to optimize because you have no external feedback except what you're putting out there. You can control that. It is much harder to put yourself out there. And that's where a lot of work happens, you know, around gaining the confidence and beginning to let go of the attachment of what people may say or what people may think. But that's a process. And it's definitely, you know, something that takes a lot of discipline. And sometimes with our clients, you know this, we have to put some serious consequences on them not doing that kind of work because it's really easy to fall into the trap of just, you know, changing the headline, optimizing, fiddling, signing up to another course, etc.
Yeah. Perfect. I love it. All right. Next one. Moaning about my situation, dragging everybody down and whinging like a little bitch. Versus, and I think this is a key here, taking responsibility, investing in myself and hearing hard truth from my mentors. And then of course, actually taking action from that. Why do we get into this moaning and dragging everyone down and just whinging and continuing to do that and not like having this negative spiral and then focusing on everything that's going wrong instead of actually taking responsibility for ourselves?
Oh, isn't that a great question?
This is like an hour long conversation.
I was going to say, oh my goodness, this is an hour long conversation. We will need 6 months of coaching for that. No. Okay. So again, guys, I'm giving you very generic answers. But on a simple way, let me just say this. All people have a pattern in the level of awareness that they have about themselves, right? So I always say that there's a level of accountability that each person carries. First level is complete unawareness, right? These are the people that are just completely blissfully unaware of what's going on, and they don't really want to be. Second level is somebody who has lots of excuses or stories around why it is that they're, you know, that they can't get the result. Third level is they blame other people for not getting the result. Fourth level is that they're sitting, waiting, and hoping to see something happen. These first four levels are, you know, they're directly related to being at the effect. So that's the whole idea that it's easier to be at the effect than to be at cause, because if you're at the effect, then it's never your fault. And that's, it's easier that way. It's easier to say that it's not my fault. It's easier to say that I can't do this because I don't have the resources. It's easier to say that I couldn't do this or I didn't succeed because somebody else, it was somebody else's problem, right? At the end of the day, there are some people that are able to break out of that cycle and step into the other levels, which is complete awareness, which is action, which is solutions, right? And the thing about, you know, what makes that shift, it has to actually do, going back to confidence, it has to do with level of confidence and self-worth. Mm. You know, if you don't feel like you're good enough, right, then you're going to look for reasons to prove that you are worthy. And if you take responsibility, there could be a meaning that the person is attaching to the level of responsibility or to the result. If I don't get my result, then it means that I'm not good enough. Then it means that I'm not worthy. And if that's happening, if there's something happening inside somebody's mind and head where they're making that connection, it is much easier to blame someone else and not assume responsibility, because then the thought will not lead there. But here's the thing, guys, you're already thinking it because you're fucking human. All humans have this fear. Every single human has the fear that they're not good enough. And if they're not good enough, then they'll never be loved. Right. And so in order to take full responsibility, part of it is actually beginning to own again, owning yourself and owning your beliefs and owning your beliefs around yourself so that you're no longer attaching this result to who I am. It's letting go of external, you know, forces and feedback and making them, you know, the thing that influences you as a being. And so that's, again, we could talk for days about this, you know, the difference between external motivation versus internal motivation. But at the end of the day, if you're groaning, if you're moaning, you're just going to continue repeating the same cycle unless you're willing to take the first step, which is gain awareness, stop with the bullshit excuses, stop by blaming somebody else, stop waiting and hoping that something's going to happen, and actually accept what's going on so that then you can make the decision to move forward in a positive way.
Yeah, for sure. And just self-awareness, I talked about on the previous episode, and that takes work. It takes coaching. Mm-hmm. It takes, even if you're not coaching, it takes discipline. It takes starting to remove things from your life. And actually, we'll talk about it in that second.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Putting clothes, toys, nights out, in my case, cocaine. Or I don't think I was able to put cocaine on a credit card. But, but you know, entertainment, and then instead 100K per month, you know, investing in myself, 5K when I my original mentor, when he was 30,000 for the year, I didn't have that money. It was using that credit card as an investment instead of like entertainment, and then dropping 10K, 25K investments because I actually cleared my credit card debt. Where's the mental shift here between things that you put on your card for feeling good, to make yourself feel good, versus investments? Because I really don't think that a lot of people really truly understand the word or the phrase investing in themselves. Why do people continue to want that feeling and go out and shop when they don't really need those things, when they could actually use those cards to get a kickstart in their life and business?
Mm-hmm. You know, that goes back to pain and pleasure. In the moment, it feels good. Right? The easiest way to shift the way that you feel is by allowing something external, cocaine, food, clothes, cars, right? That's something that's external that influences the way you feel internally. It makes me feel like I'm worthy. It makes me feel like I'm good enough. It gives me a sense of confidence, right? And so that's why it's easy to make those purchases, because they feel good in the moment. It's a little more difficult to make a purchase like a seminar or coaching, because now you're forced to face the truth. Now you're forced to work on yourself, right? Now you actually have to sit down with yourself, so to speak, and have the real and honest conversations and stop with the mask and the masquerades and the bullshit stories. And not everybody's ready to take that leap. All right. The moment that I see people make that leap is when they've had enough, when they say, okay, I've had enough of this. Now I'm going to go ahead and really take care of myself. You know, if we could make that shift, if we can help somebody see that again, you're not going to get in trouble for your past behaviors. It's not about reprimanding someone. It's about understanding those patterns of behavior so that they can move towards what they really want. And that's one of the biggest differences in coaching, is that we're not going to rehash your past. It's not about, continuing to dig that hole. It's about looking at where you want to go and looking at what is it going to take and what are the new behaviors and patterns that person needs to adopt in order to get there. So that's my, 2 minute answer on that.
All right. 5K per month, living in fear, listening to the toxicity around me, 100K per month, focusing on my strengths and building my confidence and meditating daily.
Mm-hmm. It's so much easier to see what's wrong with us than what's right. I wish it wasn't that case. I wish it wasn't that case. You know what's interesting? Anytime I'm working with our clients, I see this person and I see their potential. I see everything that's beautiful and amazing about that person. And that person can't see it for themselves. However, they can look to someone else and they can see that potential inside of someone else, right? I find it interesting, again, more, you know, people are willing to do more for others than they are willing to do for themselves. And in this context, you know, again, it's a lot easier to believe that you're not good enough and that you're not worthy and to say, you know, these things to yourself than it is to build upon your strengths. But the truth is that the first step is to acknowledge the reality and the truth, which is that there's many things about you that are amazing. There's many things about you that are beautiful and that you can use to fulfill your purpose and your mission. And taking those pieces and growing based on that. You know, the other thing that also kind of screws things up is kind of how society has been built. There's a belief that I have, which is that especially in our society, we're so conditioned to look at what's not working versus what is working. Right. When you think about the Industrial Revolution, you think about how owners used to work with their employees. A lot of times it was you would look at the things that they couldn't do well and you would try to help them on overcoming those things. Right. If you weren't good at communication, then let's put you in a communications course and get you better at communication. What's interesting is that I found that what works better and what's transitioning also in businesses is rather than working on the model of let's find what they're not good at and build that, a lot of people are transitioning to the model of let's find what people are amazing at. Let's find what is the thing that they just, you know, that they're awesome at, and let's build that piece, right? And so it begins with acknowledging what you're good at. It begins with acknowledging what you love and allowing yourself to grow inside of that space and really owning that strength. Once you celebrate yourself and you celebrate that strength and you do it consistently, you begin to believe these things about yourself. But I'd be lying if I said that it didn't take work, because we're all conditioned to look at our flaws.
Right. And let's focus on the word there, toxicity. So living in fear, listening to the toxicity around me. How critical is it for entrepreneurs to remove that toxicity from their life, you know, draining energy? Because, you know, especially when you're a giver, you know, and you've got so much energy to give, when you have toxicity around you and you've got nothing left in the tank, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, this is a hard one for people, especially if you're someone who's a connector. If you are someone who is driven by having connection with other people, the last thing you want to do is disappoint someone. The last thing you want to do is, cut somebody out of your life, right? Or displease someone. And I'll be honest, that's something that I struggled with. I was very much a people pleaser from the moment that I was very, very young. And one of the things that was interesting was that I could understand what people wanted and I could become that person for them. And I'll tell you, that was exhausting. And it was not healthy. And it caused for me to be in relationships and around people that were very toxic. And the truth is that it doesn't serve, right? The only thing that I could do at that moment was remove myself from those relationships. And it was really hard to do. But I remember having someone teach me this process where they asked me, you know, where people fell inside of my, in my life, at what levels. There's a thing called the hierarchy of relationships. And I went through this process and I realized that it was disproportionate, the level of, the level of myself that I was giving for certain people who weren't behaving in a certain way towards me. And after that, I just had to make the choice to remove myself from those social circles and move towards social circles that were going to support me, in what I wanted. But again, this is another really big conversation, because it's not easy, because now you're talking about needs, right? Certain people meet other people's needs. You're talking also about, sometimes this is true about family members. Sometimes family members could be toxic. And having that conversation around how do you create those boundaries and those lines with these people, and knowing like how much of yourself do you give to this person? I'm very giving. I love people, but I know the lines that I have with each individual in order to protect my energy. And so that's important, guys. It's important for you guys to protect your energy and to be very much aware of what you know, who you're around, because your network does support you or it can hurt you, but also being aware of what are the things that you're reading, what are the things that you're listening to, because all of that influences what's happening up here
mentally
in your brain.
And yeah. And that segues nicely onto the next one. 5K a month, daily TV watching, 100K per month, daily reading. I know that you'll enjoy this one. There's such a big, it's habitual, right? We're so used to, and we're brought up, you know, watching TV and sit down and watch a movie. But truth be told, like you said, you know, and Jim Rohn has this quote, which is, you've got to be the guard of the things that go in your mind. I'm paraphrasing that quote. But, you know, it's so important of, you know, what you're exposing yourself to. When did you really start? Because I know that you read a lot. When did you really make that shift to really educate yourself?
Mm-hmm. So this one is always an interesting one for me. If you ask my husband, he'll tell you that one of the things he hates the most is how much I love TV. So let's just be honest. Let's keep it real, guys. I love my TV. I'm very much purposeful, however, with how I watch my TV. Here's the thing. I love TV because it allows me to escape. I love TV because, you know, when you're tired after a long day, and especially an emotional day, I need something that is, you know, mindless that I can disconnect with, right? Mm-hmm. And so I choose purposefully to watch something that is, you know, stupid and irrelevant so that I can go ahead and just be. Right. And the thing about using any of the, you know, whether it's TV or something else, it's because you could read things that are also inconsequential. Honestly, I read plenty of books that really haven't served me. At the end of the day, what you got to be mindful of is how you manage that time. And again, the parameters that you place around this, you know, the quote that you just said, I first heard it at an event from Joseph McClendon. And he said, stand guard at the gates of your mind. And when I heard that, it just hit me. It was like, holy crap. What are the things that I've been listening to or watching or reading even that have influenced my way of thinking, that have influenced how I feel without me even realizing it, right? Mm-hmm. And so my first step was just to begin to structure time. How much time do I want to spend watching TV? Knowing that purposefully it's because I'm trying to escape, right? And if I'm trying to escape, is it like healthy I'm trying to escape? Or am I trying to escape from something that really needs to be handled? This is now a pain and pleasure conversation, right? That big shift then happened, you know, a little while later around really realizing the pleasure that I got from reading. And the truth is that, guys, it is so important to be exposed to other perspectives, because the more that you grow, the more you can help those around you, the more you can help yourselves. But you also have to temper that as well, because we can get lost in just growing and learning, and we could be a student for life and never apply any of it and not put it into action. So for me, that's been very much a time management type of thing, and understanding, where is this coming from? Do I want to sit and watch TV because I'm trying to escape? Is it escaping for healthy reason? And if I'm reading something, what's the purpose behind that? And just being mindful of everything that I hear, especially with music and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, especially when I stopped really watching the news too, and I don't really watch, like, nowadays, that I'll be very transparent. Don't watch TV. Might occasionally watch a documentary, maybe once a month.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, I love documentaries. Yeah. But I totally, I'm with you. I cut news from my life. It's funny. One of my degrees is in government, and most people would think that I'm very political because of my background. And that is the opposite of my life. My husband, who's supposed to be more politically neutral than me, he's more political than I am. Because again, I had to look at how was that making me feel. And the truth is, it was not making me feel good. It created anxiety. It created stress. And you've got to be aware of, how do things make you feel? How do people make you feel? How do songs, how do books, how do podcasts, how does all of this make you feel? Go towards a feeling, right? Mm-hmm. Our life is made up of the feelings that you feel consistently. So if you find things that make you feel good consistently, or make you feel productive, or make you feel confident, do those things even more.
Yep. Resource alert, book, note, Power Versus Force will teach you a lot about this. Great book. Okay, next one, let's move on, because we have a few more to go, and we're going to have to break this into two podcasts. The next one is, I think this is huge, was definitely huge for me. Taking a month or more to make decisions and then making decisions in like 30 seconds, you know? And I think that that has to do when actually for me, once I, when I've invested in my first mentor, was actually then recognizing that, like that resistance of not a reason to step back, but as a reason to move forward. And the truth is that some people don't make the decision that they need to do in their whole freaking lifetime. Let's talk about decisions.
Oh boy. Okay. So my coaching brain just came into a whole other world of decisions because people are wired differently. Okay. Some people are going to be much faster at making decisions based on their wiring. Other people will need more information before they can make a decision. I always believe, however, that indecision is the worst thing, you know, because at the end of the day, thinking about what could happen is worse than just doing it, seeing what actually happens, and then course correcting. Right. It takes less time to just do it and then course correct. And guys, this was a learned behavior for me, right? My husband naturally, and even you, Simon, naturally, you guys are more wired to have that threshold to make a decision and just go. I'm wired the opposite way. I love details, facts, data. I could get lost in paralysis of analysis. And so I had to train my muscle, you know, that muscle of making decisions. But what made it better was knowing that I would have clarity once I made the decision. Mm. And that's true. Every time I make a decision, I have clarity. And if it's the wrong decision, guess what? I'll find out really quickly that's the wrong decision and I'll be able to course correct. The truth is you can't course correct when you're not making a decision. And sometimes you miss an opportunity when that happens.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Cool. Next one, 5K a month. Worrying what will happen if I fail and if people don't like what I put out there. To 100K per month. Worrying what will happen if I don't put myself out there to the people that need me.
Yeah. Again, this is...
worrying what people think. That was what, exactly. What crippled me for so long. And I got a massive jump in my revenue when I removed the fear of what other people thought. And I went into a new energy and a new gear. And so it was just that shift of like thinking, like I'm freaking screwing people over every freaking second that I'm not putting myself out there. And I'm focused on the people that are not paying me money, right? Exactly. Instead of focusing on the people that actually need my help. And I think that we so... there's so many people that are continuously, it's all internal. They're thinking about themselves instead of, hey, listen, this is the message that I've got. Guys, this is what you need to understand. You have a story, period, right? The story of your life up until now. But people don't see the value in what they've achieved and what they've done. And if you could just be your authentic self and share your story and share that your gifts and share the results that you've got, and then you can share people along the journey, that's extremely powerful. But again, this is going back to self-worth and fear. And most people live on in that fear. There's a great book from Oprah Winfrey, and she has a little quote in the book. The book's called What I Know For Sure. And in that book, she asks the question, what would I do if I had no fear? And make a decision from that place.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything he said, guys, you need to listen to that, right? At the end of the day, it's the difference between focusing on yourself versus focusing on others. If you're not doing it, you're totally just focusing on self versus others.
Yeah. Next one is 5K per month. Off to the casino at weekends to try and make some money. 100K per month on my computer, creating a new program to make money. That's just, again, going back to the one that we were talking earlier. I think we can move on from that one. 5K a month.
Yeah, that's instant gratification. Let's just say that. If I go, I can make money instantly, but this, I'm not sure if I'm going to make money. That's fears, confidence, etc. Everything we've talked about, it's all wrapped into that question.
Yeah. 5K a month. Selling an ebook that I didn't even write before the lunchbox is called Private Label, right? So it's kind of like, how can I make money, right? That's what I'm talking about. And then 100K per month, like releasing my second self-published book. Right. So this was about me just in that space of my life of what I don't have any value. Therefore, I need to take something that someone has written from them to sell that, as opposed to taking the gifts that I have and producing something from the knowledge and the results that I've got. Again, that was an alteration from me in the internet marketing space into the me space. Right. Which I think is so important. What's going on there?
Well, a lot of people have a belief that they have nothing of importance to share.
Mm.
There's a fear that, somebody else has said it before. What is, if somebody else has said it, then what difference is it going to make if I say it? All right. It's nothing that people haven't heard before, or, is that even going to resonate? Or sometimes people have a fear of just as simple as what are they going to think about it? Right. And you have to be aware of that, like you said, the thing that is important is to acknowledge that you all have something to say. And even if you're saying the same thing that somebody else is saying, it's going to resonate different, because people are different. People respond to different things. What you like is not what I like all the time. And sometimes we may hear the same message from a different person and it just sinks in. I'm sure all of you have had a time where somebody said something to you and you didn't really hear it. And then somebody else said something that it was exactly the same thing. And then it sunk in and you were like, oh yeah, I do need to do that. That makes sense. Same thing, right? You've got to acknowledge that you do have something to say and that in that nobody else has your story, right? You talk right about that all the time, your story, nobody else has your story. And there's a perspective there and a point of view there that's very unique that could really serve someone. But going back to 2 points ago, again, are you focusing on yourself or are you focusing on others?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. 5K a month, taking advice from friends who have no idea what to do in that situation versus 100K per month, asking quality questions to my mentors weekly and then actually doing what they say, not half-assed, but full immersion.
Oh, that's a heavy loaded one. So here's why. There's different elements inside of that. Number one, you've got to ask yourself, why is somebody asking their friends for feedback when they already know that their friends don't have the answer? Right? There's different reasons for different people. Sometimes it's, again, they, either they feel certain because these are people they know, they love, they trust, or it's that they feel like, oh, well, I have the answers and I feel like the big, I feel like I'm the big fish in the little pond. And so there's almost like an ego boost that happens in having that conversation.
Or what about this? Asking your friends who know that they're going to give you the answer, which is going to keep you playing small, which is basically the answer of like, hey, it's okay to eat those cookies. Yeah, no, it's fine not to drop the weight, right? Yeah. It's not going to someone who you know is going to keep playing small. It's almost subconscious.
Well, and people are wired, to connect, and a lot of people connect through problems, right? If you and I share this issue, which is I can't let go of the cookies, right? Then it's easy for somebody else to pacify that and to be like, oh, it's okay. I go through the same thing. Don't worry about it, right? It's not the answer that we need, but it's the answer that we want in the moment because it makes us feel good. Again, self-worth. Confidence, right? Unawareness, going back to some of the points we talked about before. The reason now, the second part of what you mentioned, which is, okay, you go to your friends, but then let's say you do invest with someone and the difference between taking on all of those notes, playing full out versus not. At the end of the day, here's something else that we have to realize, which is some people want to say that they did everything and they tried everything. And the action of purchasing that is what validates that point. So for instance, I'll use it in training context, right? Some people know they need to lose the weight or know they need to get healthy. So they go and they hire a trainer, right? And the act of hiring a trainer gives them a sense of significance and certainty. And now they can say to themselves, I've hired a trainer. I'm moving towards my outcome. And it kind of just stops there, right? There's nothing else after that. It is enough that I did this. I took a step forward. Sometimes for people, a step forward is to just sign up for the program. Right? But guys, it's not going to work. We know that, right? If they don't show up to the training sessions, they don't do what you ask them to do, it's just not going to work. And same thing in this industry. We can give you all the resources or you can sign up for the program or sign up for coaching. But if you're not willing to do the work and follow instruction, then it's going to be tough to get to that outcome. And sometimes people really do think they know it all. And they feel like, oh, I know where you're going with this. Or they have a belief that doesn't work for me. All right, the belief that somebody carries before they walk in through your door is important. If somebody believes that no diet has ever worked for them, no diet works for me, no one can help me, and they still purchase from you, you're fucked. Good luck trying to help them.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. The next one, 5K per month, living in an area that wasn't right for me. 100K per month, traveling around the world and making connections and actually just moving house and having that awareness that my environment needed to change. And that actually happened 3 times. It happened when I moved from Exeter to Bath and I started to grow my business and change my environment, the people I was around. It happened when I moved from Bath to the United States, and it happened while I was in the United States in the area that I was living in the States to move to a different area. It's happened like 3 times. Why do people stay like where they know actually it's like, oh, like this doesn't feel right, but hey,
it's comfortable.
Right.
Comfortable. It's comfortable. It goes back to that. It's more painful to move than it is, you know, to stay. And they'll stay until it gets so painful that then it forces their hand to have to move, you know. But guys, you got to get outside of your comfort zone. You have to. If not, you're not going to grow. And sometimes you need a different environment to force your hand to do something that you weren't willing to do for yourself.
Now you're going to like this one. Selling 5K per month. Selling things for $5, $50, pounds, euros, whatever currency, and $100 to selling things for $5,000, $10,000, $30,000, $50,000 above. What's going on there mentally? Because like actually when, you know, I've done webinars with lots of different people, but one of the ones, and you know, Anna, you know, Anna shared this slide of when like her revenue and price points went up with her self-worth. It's all around confidence. Yes. Again. You are literally paid what you are worth, right? Exactly. So we have to beg the question, why are there some people who can sell something for $50,000 and above? And why do people continue to sell things and sell themselves short when actually they have that potential? It's coming back. And this is where it's crazy to me how and it's funny, right? Some people, most of the people who need the work on the mindset and need the coaching, like they almost need to reach that place where they do hit rock bottom to make the change, because when you're in that headspace, you don't think that you need that, right? But actually, understanding my growth, it was really my self-confidence that enabled me to tap into what my strengths were and therefore be willing to ask for a price. That did get a great return for someone who was willing to invest that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, it's self-worth. If you believe that you're valuable and that your service and or product is valuable, you will believe that it is worth whatever it is that you're asking for. You will believe that it's worth more than what you're asking for. People don't ask for it because they don't see the value in either themselves or their service or product. And again, that's where in the coaching, we dive into what is actually, you know, the thing that's going on and the belief that's holding them back. But our clients know one of the first things we go through is their pricing. And sometimes you need someone externally to hold you accountable to that piece. And that's what we do. Some of our clients haven't liked that we've pushed them to charge more, but they do it, right? Because they respect the coaching. And sure enough, what then happens? They sell. They sell something at that higher price point, whether it's $1,200, $3,000, $5,000. And now that they have the experience, they begin to believe that they are worth it and that it's possible. So that's the other thing. There's a feedback loop that happens, right? If you haven't sold it before and you believe that it's impossible, it's hard for you to go up in price because you haven't done it before. Right? Some people need the experience of having sold it at that price point to feel like, wow, this is something that people do see value in and would pay this much for. And sometimes you need somebody externally to, you know, to be there to hold your hand and keep you accountable to that. But definitely there's some things on self-worth. And you know, the first thing I do with my clients is I ask them, do you believe in your service? Like, you have to believe in it. 100%, because you've got to know that your client is coming with tons of uncertainty, you know, to you. They don't have certainty about their health, or they don't have certainty about whatever it is that they're going through, and they're seeking you out because they're looking for someone who has certainty and has enough of it for the, you know, for the two of you. And you have to carry that certainty and that belief that you are totally worth it, that your service can really do what you're promising. And if that's the case, people will pay for it.
Yeah. Great. All right. Spending 5K a month, spending the majority of time with those who have had no excitement to be successful. And that doesn't make them wrong, right? They had no desire. And then 100K per month, spending time around people with the mindset of where I need to be. And this is actually about, you know, when we talk about coaching the higher self, which is you got to be around, like, there's that quote, you know, you shouldn't be the cleverest person in the room, right? You've got to surround yourself and have proximity to those that are already where you are. Mm-hmm. Where you want to be, sorry. Not where you are, where you want to be.
You know, again, to reiterate some of the points before, a lot of self-worth happening here. I love to be the one in a room who doesn't know the most. I love it, right? I love being that one in the room. But a lot of people have a hard time being the one in the room who doesn't know all the answers because they want to feel important, right? They want to feel significant. And to be in that setting, it's uncomfortable. If you're willing to let go of that bullshit story and you immerse yourselves with other people who are where you want to be, it will be transformative because naturally all of their knowledge and wisdom will be passed on to you and you won't allow yourself to play at the level that you've been playing because you've got somebody else that's set a new expectation for yourself. And again, we're willing to do more for others than we are for ourselves. So step into that league, step into the next place.
Okay. A couple more to go. 5K a month, running a business that was trading time for money, 100K mm-hmm. per month, running a business that leveraged my time. You know, this is the whole situation where people are so trained that they need to be running a business which is just trading that time, when actually you're going to cap yourself out and you're going to reach burnout if you run it that way. And so that's right. Just about the right business model for that person. Now, sometimes people do want to do that, but they should be happy with that or understand that they need to let go of certain things in order for the business to scale.
Exactly. Again, this goes back to certainty, right? Sometimes you get certainty in what you know, and especially when you're trading time for money, it's kind of like you have a sense of knowing of how things are going to go based on that. So you got to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. At the end of the day, guys, you got to get flexible. Flexibility wins in business. And you got to be willing to be outcome oriented and not time driven when it comes to this. And so again, that's a mental shift. And sometimes it's as simple as having somebody else give you a framework and a structure that brings about a new possibility that you never thought of before.
Yep. And then the final one, which is working on my own 5K a month versus 100K a month, supported by a badass team because I knew that I can't do all the tasks on my own and remove the need for control to do everything myself. And let's just talk about team here and how important that is to bring on the right people, bring on A players, and also not be emotionally attached if you need to let people go.
Yes. So the thing that holds people back here typically is the idea or the belief that nobody can do it as good as me, right? Nobody's ever going to be as good as I am. And the truth is nobody's going to be as good as you are, right? Because you can't clone yourself, right? You are beautiful and perfect in all that you do. And somebody else is beautiful and perfect in all that they do. And so what needs to happen is you first have to know what is it that you really need. A lot of times we're trying to find someone that's just like us, and you really need to find someone that complements you or that has strengths that you don't have. But again, we're talking about coming into a place of discomfort here because it's uncomfortable to think that you're going to let things go and lose control and bring somebody else on that's going to take something that only you've done. So that takes time. That takes knowing how to hire. That also takes knowing how to fire. We had one client that said to us that one of his biggest learnings was hire fast, fire fast. Right. Again, going back to decisions, right? It's that whole decision or indecision. Make the choice to hire someone, see if they work. You'll notice it once they're in action. And if they don't work, then let them go. There's nothing wrong with hiring people on a 30-day probation or hiring people to test them out for 90 days, knowing that you'll then have a conversation to see if they're going to continue. I always have a process that I take somebody through around hiring. And you know this because we use this at Fitpreneurs, which is there are stages that we go through before somebody comes into the team. Where we do test them out. And so some of this is just about knowing the systems around hiring. And then some of it is also letting go of trying to please everyone and how, you know, what people are going to think of you and being okay with saying to somebody, I love you as a person, but we're just not going to be a good fit in business.
Yeah. All right, this is awesome. We are wrapping up this episode. It's gone on for a lot longer than I thought. And we actually had 10 of these points to go through, which we're going to put into another episode. We're going to be talking about overcoming fears, discovering limiting beliefs, establishing new and empowering beliefs, gaining confidence, maximizing potential, moving towards massive action, realizing long-standing goals and turning those dreams into reality, shortcutting the path to results, clarity, and bringing balance back into your life. It's something that I've talked about a lot on the podcast and the Simon Lovell Show already. Also finding fulfillment and purpose. Now, I'm going to give you guys a bit of a challenge. Let's see if those of you who want to take action, if this episode has resonated with you, and I know for a lot of you, like, it's going to resonate some of these points, and you do want some help. And honestly, we don't know if it would be a fit. It may be, it may not. And you don't have to be a fit pro. You can actually be in any business. This is what I'd encourage you to do. Record a video, okay, on YouTube Unlisted, okay, and just talk authentically around where you are and where you want to be and, like, the truth of your story. Like, we want to, like, get to know you, and I want to, like, see you for, like, who you are, because then I will get a sense of, like, is this person, like, can I point you to some different resources, or might it be a fit to do something? And then send that video to simon@simonlovell.com. Val will watch it. And, like, we'll just give you some feedback. It may be that video, we just give you some tips and we send back and we say, hey, this is something that you can do straight away. Part of the show is about massive impact and helping as many people as you can. I will watch the video, even if there's, like, because I know that we're going to get a lot come in. Okay. But I love to, like, see people and experience people. It's that connection. So, and with the Simon Lovell, like, you got to, like, just be willing to take that action. And then we need to put some kind of consequence onto that, Val. So what would you say if someone wants to do that? Like, we put a time limit on there. I think 24 hours might be kind of cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when we do anything like this, it's like, why do we do this, right? Because it filters a lot of people, right? It's like, if you're not willing to, like, jump on a video and, like, do the work and like, put yourself out there, then are you going to be able to do the work with your business moving forward? Probably not. And also, just seeing you authentically would be awesome. So excited to see that. If that's cool to you, do that. If not, we're going to see you in another episode where we're going to be covering all of these different areas to be able to help you grow. Anything that you want to finish up with, Val? Any parting things? Just, like, in a nutshell, like, what do you think, like, really needed to happen? If someone's listening and they're like, well, I saw the title of this episode and it's 5K to 100K per month, right? Your honest answer of, like, what does that really take? Like, what was it in a nutshell?
You. It takes you. It takes you making the decision and you showing up. Mm. And so you showing up is, you know, your state, you overcoming those fears, gaining that confidence, doing these things that we talk about. It takes you. Nobody else can do it for you. So step up, cross the line, right? Step forward into what you really want.
Mm, wonderful. All right. So from the Pocket Ninja all the way in Florida.
Thank you, guys.
See you soon. Take it easy.
Thank you so much for listening to that episode of The Simon Lovell Show. Now, if you enjoyed that episode, please head to iTunes, also SoundCloud, or any other platform and give a review. I read all of the comments. I would love your stories, your feedback. It is so important to me. Also, head to simonlovell.com for more information, more blog content, and connect with me on social media. I will see you in another episode of the show. Take it easy. Have a fantastic day.